Hey guys, welcome to the number 252 ever episode of Always Talk with Chase. I am Chase Coburn, and today we are back with another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. In today's episode, we have a few things to break down. As expected, Kyle Kuzma has declined his $13 million player option, making him an unrestricted free agent. We're going to break down that whole situation. And then with the NBA draft coming up, we're going to break down four of the players, more of the long shots, but still four players that I think the Wizards could possibly take at number 8 overall in Thursday's NBA draft. We hope you guys are excited for this one. We got a ton of things to break down. So subscribe, follow, share, view, and let's not waste any time here. Let's get into this.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. I am Chase Coburn.
So yeah, let's get into this real quick. Actually, before we do, I want to thank you guys so much. We had we've had some very successful views recently on the channel. I really do appreciate all your guys' support. And yeah, let's just continue to grow the podcast. We're not going to reach the view goal I wanted, but that's actually on me because I went about a week or so, actually maybe even more, without posting on here. So that's on me. So I will not blame you guys for not getting to that view mark. We are just going to look to continue to grow the podcast, continue to grow its views, and just look to continue to grow. So please stay tuned for more content here on Wiz Talk with Chase. All right, let's get into this episode because there are many things we have to break down. So let's break down the Kyle Kuzma situation first, because I feel like that's the biggest deal. So Kuzma declined his $13 million player option. Again, like expected, we had a feeling he would do that. And now he's expecting a long-term deal from the Wizards. Now, the deal that he would be paid would be 4 years, $180 million, at least $180 million. And in case you don't know what 180 divided by 4 is, that's $45 million a year for one of the most inefficient shooters on the team. I mean, this guy shot 44% from the field despite averaging over 20 points a game, so it kind of offsets, if that makes sense. And I forget the exact stat, but there were like 61 players that with 500 attempts this year, and like Kuzma ranked like 59th out of those 61 in field goal percentage, so, or in shooting. So Kuzma is not the most efficient person in the world. That's just how it is. And I just think that he's not worth $180 million. And so going into this rebuilding process, and Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that there's still a possibility he remains in D.C. Personally, I don't. Because I think there is going to be a team, maybe like Houston, I don't know, Detroit's cap situation, or like a team like that, that could maybe use another score to continue. Now that they're midway through their rebuilding development, there could be a team like that that has a ton of cap space that's going to be willing to pay Kuzma that money. And there's no reason for the Wizards to get themselves on another terrible contract. Forget if it's terrible or not. There's no reason for them to get Kevin Durant's contract. There's no reason for them to get Steph Curry's contract. There's no reason for the Wizards to take on a big contract right now. So, especially if it's going to be a contract that you will regret having and that could lack trade value, I think you absolutely do not sign Kyle Kuzma, because I don't think he adds any value to your team if he's going to be, for 4 years, making $45 million a year. So I think now if you're Michael Winger and Will Dawkins and everybody down in that, and Ted Leonsis and everybody in the Wizards front office, I think what you have to consider is the fact that, like, look, they could bring Kuzma back. They could try to get some value out of him. But even that, I doubt Kuzma would choose them because he knows they're going into a rebuilding direction. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the Wizards do with this Kyle Kuzma situation. If I were them, I would personally say just let him go, get his money off the books, because it was only $13 million, so it only frees up about $13 million, but that's still a lot. The Wizards' salary cap situation is going to change completely, and especially with this Chris Paul deal, if they're going to have to release him and still pay him money, and or if he gets traded and they have to take on some big contracts temporarily, like Eric Gordon, Robert Covington, Nicholas Batum, or Marcus Morris, guys like that. If they're going to have to take on those contracts, which, if you guys don't understand why they would take on those contracts, it would be essentially to have them but to free the money off the books next offseason or the offseason after, or to maybe trade them to a contender for an overpay if they give them draft capital, young players, or whatever, and try to get some value out of them for contending teams at the deadline over the next few years. So that's what the Wizards would do by picking up some of these semi-big contracts. Like, we're talking $20 million a year for guys like Eric Gordon, for guys like maybe like a Rui Hachimura or Jared Vanderbilt, or like guys like the Lakers picked up last year. Kind of guys like that is what the Wizards would try to do. And if they're going to have to pick up those guys, which it looks like they will, and I think that would be the right strategy, then having Kuzma's contract is going to, you don't want to have that happen because they're trying to free up as much money as possible so that they can start to spend, or at least have a ton of salary cap, so that when they are good, they can spend, then just continue to free up salary cap. Because there's two things you want to do as a rebuilding team. You want to have a lot of cap space, and you're going to have a ton of draft picks. Right now, the Wizards are lacking on the draft picks part, and that would be the only reason why I think the Wizards would try to bring him back, if they think they could immediately flip him. But now that he declined his player option, I think this should have been something the Wizards could have discussed at the trade deadline. But now that he's an unrestricted free agent, having to sign him and then trade him, it would just take too much. At this point, I would just let him go, get rid of the mask. Kuzma's always had a little bit of an ego in that sense. I doubt he'll want to come back. I wouldn't want to deal with that drama. Just let him go, free up the money, and just move on. I mean, it's not like Kuzma has any, you know, emotional attachment. I mean, he was there for 2 years. He had probably the two best seasons of his career here in D.C., but it's not like he has any emotional attachment. It's not like he's from D.C. or anything, so, like, it could just be an awkward situation. He's going to be someone that wants to contend for championships. So I would just let his money go, get him off the books, and see what happens after that. I mean, I really think that the situation, again, they could bring him back, try to get draft capital. I don't know if they would get that valuable draft capital anyway. I think Porzingis would be the only one out of the now about to be former big three of the Wizards that they would have got draft capital out of. And we'll see what happens with the Porzingis trade situation if he does get traded. And his player option could literally be accepted or declined in seconds or over like a week or so. So we'll have to, we will wait patiently on that. But the point is with Kyle Kuzma is that they could resign him, try to get draft capital, but I doubt they will. I think they'll just let him go, and I think they should let him go, get his money off the books, and start to do step one of the process of rebuilding, which is freeing up cap space. And I see there are two steps, and one of them is having a lot of draft picks, but it's kind of connected to draft picks, is making sure you got young talent. So now that we broke that down, let's break down four players that have an outside chance of getting drafted by the Washington Wizards at number 8 overall on Thursday. Some of these guys may be like, why do you think he would be drafted there? And I'll explain it. Some of these guys, they get overdrafted, underdrafted, if that makes sense. I mean, we saw Jalen Suggs shockingly fall to 5 a few years ago. And like, there are just usually some draft surprises that we don't expect. I know this isn't the NFL, but who expected Will Levis to be drafted in the second round? The point is, Will Levis, by the way, everybody, is a quarterback from Kentucky that was projected to be a top 5 pick that fell all the way to the second round of the draft. So the point is that anything could happen, and I think these are some guys that could possibly be drafted around number 8 that the Wizards could be interested in, but that probably won't be drafted. They're more long shots. And the first one I'd like to break down is Arkansas 2-guard, Nick Smith Jr. And you probably heard Arkansas, you probably thought I was going to talk about Anthony Black. Let me just explain that real quick here. So, actually, before we break this down, today we're going to be talking about Nick Smith Jr., Jordan Hawkins, Keontae George, and Grady Dick. And then we're going to have an episode where we talk about the guys that are most likely going to get drafted, like the 5 guys that have the best chance of getting drafted by Washington at number 8. Cam Whitmore, Jairus Walker, Taylor Hendricks, Asar Thompson, and Anthony Black. So we're going to break down those 5. Tomorrow or sometime, most likely tomorrow. Yeah, and then we'll break down these 4 players today. So let's start off with Nick Smith Jr., and I'm not that big of a fan of him. I know some people like the fact that he has combo guard potential despite his lack of assists, and that's what I'm still trying to think. Is like, yes, obviously I watch it play, but like, you're getting under 2 assists a game from a guy who's supposed to be a combo guard. I don't really see much facilitating potential. And if he's going to be the Wizards' point guard long-term, I don't think he's good enough playmaker to have that. And if he's supposed to be the scoring replacement for Beal, kind of be that next scorer, I don't see that happening either, because he's just not efficient enough. I mean, this is on a team where he didn't have to take as many shots with having Anthony Black next to him, having Ricky Council, Jordan Walsh. This is a very good Arkansas team with most likely four players that are going to be drafted on Thursday. Three possibly in the first round, and definitely two in the first round. So, I mean, he didn't have to take that many shots, yet he took up 12 shots a game, four from three. Couldn't really get to the free throw line a ton, so it's not like he would get other teams into foul trouble, and he's just not efficient with those shots. And again, that could be because of the high quantity, but the Wizards would also need him to take a high quantity. And I'm not expecting a player to come in and be perfect, but I just don't see the potential here. If he was inefficient with a ton of other good offensive players next to him, now if he's going to be the future run the show, I don't understand how he's now going to be efficient. He shot 37% from the field, 38% from the field, 34% from three, under 40% from two-point range, 74% from the line. He's just not efficient. He's not a great shooter. And I just don't see him being good enough of a point guard with the facilitating or good enough of a shooting guard that the Wizards would really want to get their hands on him. So he's kind of fallen out of the lottery kind of in this month of June. I don't know if his workouts haven't been great or whatever, combine, but he's kind of fallen out of this. So he will most definitely probably not be drafted by the Wizards. I'm number 8 overall, but I feel like we still needed to talk about him as a guy that could have potential to be drafted in the top 10 and as a guy who could be a combo guard, which is kind of what the Wizards are looking for. I just don't see Nick Smith being good enough as a point guard or as a shooting guard that he has value to the nation's capital. So, goodbye, Nick Smith. But somebody, a guard that could really be valuable, on the other hand, is Jordan Hawkins from my Connecticut Huskies. And I mean, there are so many things you could say about Jordan Hawkins. Let's start off with his weaknesses, because what he is not too good at, Jordan Hawkins, is defense. That's never been his skill. He's not that good. He can play in a zone. He's very bad, like man-to-man, one-on-one. That's not his job. And last year, luckily, UConn's defense was one of the best. He relied on guys like Andre Jackson, Adama Sanogo, Donovan Klingon, guys like that that are very, Alex Caravan, guys that are very good defenders. Even Tristan Newton at the guard spot was a very good defender for UConn last year. And basically everybody on the, almost everybody on that UConn team was a very good defender last year, besides Hawkins. So he was lucky to be with a very good defensive team to kind of make his defensive weaknesses not look as bad. But in reality, he just cannot play one-on-one defense, which is concerning, but neither could Bradley Beal. And most shooting guards in the NBA right now, they're just pure volume scorers. Take Donovan Mitchell, take Devin Booker, take Bradley Beal, aren't terrible defensively, but also aren't great defensively. And I do think Hawkins, with his athleticism and versatility, has a ton of defensive potential as well to kind of get to the defensive point of a Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker or Bradley Beal, where he's not a liability on the defensive end. But offensively, there's nothing you should not like about Jordan Hawkins. He significantly improved from year one to year two. I mean, he got 15 more minutes. He started 33 more games, took 7 more shots a game from the field, took almost four more shots a game from three, took almost, that's about like 2.5 more shots from the free throw line more a game. So he just continued to start to make more shots. He just had more abilities, and he averaged 16 a game in his sophomore year with UConn. Luckily, he was able to capture that national championship, and he was very important in that national championship run for the UConn Huskies. I mean, they would absolutely not be there without him. He was easily, in my opinion, their best player throughout the entire tournament, but just their best player overall. I mean, he shot 7 three-point attempts a game during the tournament on 7 attempts a night. Yeah. 7 attempts a night from three, shot 50% from three in 6 games in the NCAA tournament. So, obviously, he helped them out a lot. But just overall, he is a very talented player. 41% for the field, 39% for three, 88% for the free throw line. He's incredible off screens. You get him off a screen. He had the second most points in the NCAA off screens in 2023. The guy is a pure scorer. He's a volume scorer that actually shoots somewhat efficiently. And while I don't think his efficiency is great, I really like that from the field. I really like that his efficiency is great from three. And some are calling him the best pure scorer, or maybe even, most likely like the best pure scorer in the entire draft. So if you want to just go for a score, I really like Jordan Hawkins, and he's been mocked now in a ton of lottery to be in the lottery. He could be in the lottery. He could be in the kind of in the 20s, but he also could be in the top 10. And so I doubt the Wizards will do this, but if for some reason they trade down like a pick or two, Jordan Hawkins could possibly be on the mind of the Washington Wizards as a guy that they could use as their future shooting guard and as their future scorer long term. Because something we have to think about as well is it seemed like with the Wizards, with Beal and that crew, that they were definitely looking for a point guard. But now that Beal's gone, I think they just have to go best guy available. So that's why we're going to break down guys tomorrow, like Jairus Walker, Taylor Hendricks, Cam Whitmore, guys that don't really fit what they need, but if you could get the best guy available, that could be very valuable. So all I'm saying is on the defensive end, Hawkins has some flaws, but on the offensive end, it's very hard to find a ton of flaws about Jordan Hawkins. The guy's likable. The guy doesn't have any off-the-court issues. A good guy and a very good basketball player, and I think the Wizards should possibly target him at number 8 in this year's draft. Keontae George is another one you have to think about, but he's more like Nick Smith to me. I don't really think he does much. I mean, he shot 30, it's kind of like him, 37, 38% from the field, 33, 34% from three. He shot under 80% from the line, 15 points a game. What I do like is that he's more of a facilitator. He has more defensive potential as a wing. He's 6'4". I'm pretty sure Nick Smith is around that height as well. So, I mean, he thrives off his strength for his position. He's a very physical player. He's a good defender. He switches easily, holds his own against taller guys. He is too inefficient, and I feel like he's kind of the opposite of Jordan Hawkins, where, and we're talking about a guy who's still averaging 15 a game, so not much less than Jordan Hawkins, but obviously he doesn't have the offensive talent of Jordan Hawkins, but he is decent offensively. He's a good rebounder, a decent facilitator. He could pass if you need him to. He's just a little inefficient. That's like really the big flaw he has on the offensive end. On the defensive end, he is very good. I've heard that Keontae George, his range is crazy. He could be like, from around like number 8, that's like kind of his ceiling, or it could be in the 20s. So he's a guy I think the Wizards should have their eye on if you just want to look at pure talent, because defensively he shows value, offensively he shows value, and what's good about a guy like him is that you could easily play a 6'4 guy like him at the 3 or the 1 or the 2, as we know he could hold his own against taller defenders and bigger guys defensively, which I think is very valuable. So offensively, while he's scoring the ball, I feel like that was mainly because he was basically the number one option at Baylor. I mean, he was one of their best players there. So I think personally, Keontae George is definitely an option for the Wizards. Now, I do not see them taking the Baylor freshman from this year, but I do think he could be on the Wizards radar at number 8 overall. And the final player we're going to break down today is Grady Dick. And Grady Dick is basically just the best pure shooter in the entire draft. 44, 40, 85 shooting splits, shooting over 40% from downtown on 5.7 attempts a night. Can you believe that? Think about that. 6 3-point attempts a game, 40% from downtown. That's truly remarkable. Grady Dick is just a pure shooter. He's just absolutely unbelievable in the offensive end. Now, he is a wing defender, as he is surprisingly, even though he is a kind of a sharpshooter like that, he's 6'8", 205, and he's a guard, so he kind of does have some versatility there, which is something the Wizards should like. But he is a wing defender and still isn't great on the defensive end of the ball, so I don't like the fact that he would be having to guard bigger guys and yet still doesn't have a polished defensive game. He does space the floor and has a ton of combo guard potential. We have seen some facilitating potential despite 1.7 assists, but he got 5 rebounds. He's got 1.4 steals, but again, just kind of like Jordan Hawkins, 1v1, man-on-man. I don't think Grady Dick is that good of a defender. And the only thing he lacks on his offensive game is athleticism and explosiveness, and he is inconsistent at converting at the rim, just because even though he is 6'8", 205, he doesn't have that much physicality. He's more of a guy that will work on the outside. So, I think he's kind of a higher version of Corey Kispert, in a sense he has more potential than a guy like Corey Kispert, but I think kind of does the same job. So the Wizards may want to stay away if they think really Kispert could be that guy that's going to be their shooter, that's going to space out the floor long term. But I think Grady Dick should be on the radar. He is going to be drafted right around that range, whether it's 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He should be in the lottery, and he should be drafted around that range. So it's going to be very interesting to see if the Wizards even have their mind on Grady Dick. And not only have their mind on him, but if they actually really want to take him. So, yeah, those are four guys that I think have an outside chance of getting drafted by the Washington Wizards on Thursday. And then, yeah, tomorrow we'll break down the guys that will most likely, and one of the five guys we'll mention tomorrow will most likely get drafted again. Those five are Cam Whitmore, Jairus Walker, Taylor Hendricks, Oswald Thompson, and Anthony Black. We hope you guys enjoyed the 252nd episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. Again, you guys probably heard this from yesterday's episode, but yeah, I am now active on Twitter. Please follow me, Chase Coburn, @CoolSportsKid, Instagram, Chase_sports_news. Please check out more episodes of Wiz Talk with Chase, Cool Sports Network, ChaseSportsNews.com, my newsletter, Cool Sports Newsletter, ChaseCoburn.substack.com. You can put in your email, get updates on sports, and then I have two series, O's Magic, Ravens Reacts, about the Orioles and the Baltimore Orioles and the Baltimore Ravens. But yeah, we just talk about sports a ton on there as well. So, and then Sports for Kids, my YouTube channel with three of my good friends and co-hosts on there. YouTube.com/SportsForKids. 126. We got a video with Andrew Fenichel on there as well. And yeah, so that is pretty exciting. Please follow me on all those places. We hope you guys did enjoy the 252nd ever edition of Wiz Talk with Chase. Please subscribe, follow, share, view. Let me know what you guys think. And we will see you guys on the next episode of Wiz Talk with Chase. Peace.